back to the Stephen A. Smith Show.
Past hour number two back here on the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM Mad Dog Sports Radio. He is one of the ultimate baseball insiders, senior writers, analysts, everything and anything having to do with baseball. This is the man to go to. The one and only Jeff Passan from ESPN is on the line with me right now. What's going on, Jeff? Good to see you, buddy. Congratulations on a phenomenal World Baseball Classic. Everybody associated with baseball, I'm saying this too. I don't know if I've been this excited about baseball in my life as much as I am now because of the World Series, because of the World Baseball Classic, and because of where baseball is today. How are you feeling after that experience last night?
Baseball's having a moment, Stephen A. And as somebody who's there to witness it and to chronicle it and to appreciate it, I love every second of it because I've been covering this game for 23 years now, and I've been waiting that whole time for people to appreciate baseball as much as I do, or maybe not as much as I do, but somewhere in that realm. And it's finally that combination of stars like Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge, who I imagine we're going to be talking about in a couple of minutes. It's the pitch clock really taking a game that was seen as boring and shaving a half hour off of game times and engaging the fans and listening to fans. And then it's something like the World Baseball Classic, which has been around for a long time. I remember being there at the first WBC. The Dominican Republic was playing at the Disney Wide World of Sports back in 2006. Like, these were not big venues that they were going to. And now last night, you're at Lone Depot Park in Miami, Stephen A. And that crowd, which was probably about 85% pro-Venezuela, was as loud and ridiculous a crowd as I have ever seen at a baseball game. You know, I was talking with Francisco Cervelli, who managed Team Italy, and he's right from Venezuela, actually. And he said, this is like winter ball in March. Latin American baseball and the infiltration of that culture into what American baseball culture has been like, I think has changed it for the better. And we saw that in full bloom last night.
Jeff Passan, covering Major League Baseball the way that you do. What was it like for you when Bryce Harper, because I know about, like you said, about 85%, you know, Latin American. But let me tell you something. When Bryce Harper smacked that 2-run shot in the bottom of the eighth, that didn't sound like a road crowd to me. Everybody was going absolutely bananas. And then he circled around, goes around, bat flips before going to first base, circles around second, points to the crowd, to the audience up there, and then rolls around third, points his finger to his biceps where the American flag was wrapped around his bicep, and then flexed for the crowd. What was that moment like for you? Because I know what it was like for me. I haven't seen anything like that. It was marvelous. It really was.
Yeah, it was storybook. And, you know, Bryce Harper really needed it. I've gotten to know Bryce pretty well over the last couple of years. Spent some time with him and his family in Philadelphia for a story last year. You know, earlier in the WBC, he's struggling, and I'm sitting there, I'm walking, talking with him, and, you know, he's not talking about his struggles. He was showing me a video of his six-year-old son, Crew, who he had taken to the rodeo earlier in the week. And Crew said, Dad, I want to ride a sheep. And he's got video of his son holding on to a sheep and riding for like 9 seconds. The kid won a belt buckle. And you know, I see Bryce at this point. He's in his 30s now. We've known him since he was 16 years old and on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Like, he's lived essentially his whole adult life in the spotlight and clutched up at so many times. And so this was killing him. And he was taking solace, I think, in the fact that his family were there and they were getting to experience this with him. But I know he wanted that moment. And man, it was a 93-mile-an-hour changeup, Stephen A. You don't see a lot of 93-mile-an-hour changeups. And Bryce Harper was ready for it. And when he launched it, the first thing I did, because you saw the trajectory, you heard the crack of the bat.
That's right.
You knew that ball was going out. And I looked down at Bryce Harper because I was asking myself, is he going to flip his bat? He's had a couple of decent flips, you know, back when he went to Washington, like in his first year as Philadelphia Philly, he unleashed a pretty good one. This one, though, grabbed the bottom of the barrel and just yeeted that thing right up into the air.
That's right.
It was flipping end over end. He's running around the bases. He's screaming. Stephen A., you don't see American dugouts empty when things like that happen. You see Dominican
That's
dugouts.
Right.
You see Venezuelan dugouts. The American dugout completely emptied to greet Bryce Harper because it looked in that moment like he'd saved their World Baseball Classic. And then the ninth inning came along.
You know what? The ninth inning came along, and give props to Valencia, give props to Venezuela. And Suarez, of course, answered the call. But in the end, I'm not sitting here down about it. USA did what they could. Unfortunately, they came up short. But I just think that moment is going to live forever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so special. And I think that when you talk about the Latin American influence, and I'm just reading from something that you wrote about the backflip, and it was obviously eloquent as always when it comes from you. I'm thinking about the Latin American, you know, the Latin culture, rather, and how it's infiltrated baseball to some degree, and how I think it needs to when it comes to this sport. When you think about Major League Baseball, where it's going, some of the rule changes that Rob Manfred has instituted, and some more athleticism has been invited into the sport, some of the changes that have facilitated more offense, stuff like that. I think baseball is in the best place I've seen it in decades. And I think, by and large, the Latin influence is only going to help it even more. It's not going to hurt it, Jeff.
Completely agreed with you, Stephen A. And look, this is a global game. It's not a global game in the same way that, say, the NBA is, where you have all the European countries and you have China and you have South America, Brazil, you have Africa these days. Like, the NBA has done an incredible job of becoming, to me, beyond soccer, of course, the most global of our games. But what baseball has done in the last 20 years, and I really feel like this started with the advent of the World Baseball Classic, is not push away the cultures that have organically grown in these places. Wherever you have a sport, you're going to have some of the same things, Stephen A. You're going to have the same distance between bases. You're going to have the same distance between the mound and home plate. You're going to have the same number of innings, and you're going to have the same number of players in the lineup and on the field. But what's different is the way that you are taught the game, the way that you are taught to love the game, and the way that you're taught to play out there. And the Dominican Republic has its own very unique style of baseball. Venezuela, its own very unique style of baseball. Japan, its very own unique style of baseball. And Bryce Harper, I think, said it best. When you bring all of these styles together, that's where the beauty in the game is. It's understanding that amid all of the similarities that exist, the differences are what make us special, and the differences are what we take pride in, what we love, and what we want to go out there and represent. So Ronald Acuña Jr. can bring that Venezuelan influence to the Atlanta Braves if he wants. Salvador Perez can bring that Venezuelan influence to the Kansas City Royals, and all of those in their clubhouses can learn from that. And baseball, I think, does as good of a job as any sport, especially over these last two decades, of integrating that and celebrating it, because it is something that's worth celebrating.
Jeff, I agree with you in terms of baseball. I'm wondering about the actual players themselves, who lean on their predecessors to hold on to tradition and the way things are supposed to be done. That's not today's society. Totally with you about the media. I'm totally with you about baseball itself as a league, but the players themselves, how receptive are they to that process of evolution kicking in and promoting the level of change, the kind of things that you just alluded to?
It's a great question, actually, because, you know, interpersonal dynamics, there can be conflicts. Like, if you're raised in a baseball culture where pimping a home run is seen as something that's wrong, and you have a teammate who's going out there and chucking a bat all over the place, it might piss you off. But I think what baseball's done really well is guys get that early on in their careers. Like, when you're in the minor leagues, if you're an American-born college player who goes into the minor leagues, More than half the minor leagues, Stephen A., are made up of Latin American players. So you are learning about bachata very early on in your career. You're learning what tostones are, and you're learning rice and beans taste good. Like, you get integrated into that pretty damn quickly, because if you don't, it's going to be tough to find a place in the game. And I think in baseball, players now understand, you're never going to get along with all of your teammates, but there needs to be a baseline level of respect there. And I think a tournament like the WBC actually increases that respect. When Venezuela goes out and beats a country like the United States that had assembled what it believed was its version of the dream team, that, like, okay, these Venezuelan guys can play a little bit. Like, maybe there's something to what they're doing. Maybe there's something to what they're saying. Maybe there's something to the style that they're taught when they're younger. So all of it, I think, is just making baseball better. And thank you, sincerely, thank you for saying this, because I love the fact that that you and that Pat McAfee and that guys who have roots in other sports and love other sports are suddenly beginning to recognize, like, baseball's got some value and baseball's got some flavor and baseball's an interesting place to be. It's not this nerdy sport. It's not this boring sport and slow sport. It is that, but it's also something that can be cool and interesting and fun.
I haven't been this excited about baseball since Reggie Jackson hit 3 home runs in the World Series. That's how far back it is. I mean, I haven't been this excited. I'm loving it. I'm loving what baseball has done. I'm loving the way you and Tim Kirkjian and Buster Olney and my guys have been covering the sport. It's just fantastic. And I love the World Series because, to me, I brought up this big moment, Jeff. I remember, I'm like, Shohei Ohtani is the best in the business, get paid $700 million, 70 a year, and he's out there swinging bats as a pitch hitter, but he on the hill for game 7. I'm like, that's what I'm talking about right there. That's what we want to see. Right there. You're supposed to be the man. And he's like, yes, I'm here. Here I am. It's game 7. Let's get it on. And I just think it's beautiful as well. Jeff Passan right here with Stephen A. Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Now let's get to the bad news. Aaron Judge.
I knew this was coming, Stephen A. I
love him. Listen. I love him. He's the judge. He's my guy. I'm a Yankee fan. We all know this. First 3 games in the WBC. 333 batting average, 4 runs, 2 home runs, 5 RBIs, just 1 strikeout, final 4 games, 2 for 15, 113, 133 batting average, 1 run, no home runs, no RBIs, 6 strikeouts, 3 last night, 1 for 8 over the last 2 games between the DR and Venezuela, and no runs, no RBIs, 5 strikeouts over those last 2 games. What are we to say right now with Aaron Judge? I feel bad for him because at least he showed up there. He showed out there. He was willing to play for his country. He tried his best. But damn, I mean, if he could have followed up that Bryce Harper home run with a hit, that would have been great.
It would have. And look, we're getting to the point now. And listen, for many Yankees fans, we're long past that point. But we're the rest of us who don't have a dog in the fight, we're getting to the point where Aaron Judge needs to win something. And I don't discount or doubt for 1 second that Aaron Judge wants to win, whether it is a World Series, a World Baseball Classic, something significant or meaningful. I don't doubt that he wants to win it every bit as much as everybody else out there. But there comes a point when you have reached the level of stardom, superstardom that he has, when you have 3 MVP awards, when you have the American League record for home runs in a single season, when you have all of these things, the expectations for you are just different. And if you look, Stephen A., at Aaron Judge's career playoff statistics, they're actually not bad. You know, he's got an OPS of like 850, which is pretty good for any other player who's not Aaron Judge. When you set the standard that high, you have set yourself up to fail unless you have got that dog in you. And some guys, when it comes to the playoffs, Stephen A., some guys just show up and they show out, and that is their time and that is their moment. And I think that at some point is going to be in the cards for Aaron Judge. I think the Yankees are going to be good this season. I think they're going to be back in the postseason. And let's not forget, Aaron Judge's last playoff series, they lost to Toronto, but he individually had a very good series.
He played well.
So Yeah, so it's not as if he is incapable of doing any of these things that are expected of him. Sometimes you just don't. And in baseball, those short series, they really can be magnified, and they really can, can take away from all the great stuff that you do over 162. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you this. I know Aaron Judge would trade a really good 162-game regular season for an even better, 20-game postseason. All day, every day, winning a championship is something that he wants to do. And, I hope for his sake that he can figure it out. But right now, just hasn't done it. And it's an unfortunate blemish on a truly great player.
Couple of questions before I let you get on out of here, and thank you for your time. Bryce Harper in that moment, what does this do for him? He's been in the league for about 13, 14 years. Mm-hmm. He's got his money. He's one of the stars in the league. We understand that. In the same breath, people look at him, although he's still good because he's still very good. He's Bryce Harper. The flip side to it is that bat speed doesn't look like it's quite what it used to be in a lot of people's eyes. And then last night that moment happens and you see him step up like that. When something like that happens, what does that potentially do for somebody like a Bryce Harper? Because Philadelphia Philly fans will sit up there and say, the only thing that was missing was that he didn't do it in a Phillies uniform. That's all they would say. There's nothing else they can say about a moment like that. What does it do for Bryce Harper right now?
It's been interesting, Stephen A., because this offseason, Dave Dombrowski, the Phillies president of baseball operations, essentially said that there were questions if Bryce Harper was still elite. He didn't enjoy that.
I remember
to that at all. And Bryce is not somebody who's going to go out there and necessarily pop off. He is going to let that thing burn inside of him and create a fire. And the real question, and I think this is a fair question, the real question when a guy is aging is, can the physical capabilities keep up with the growth mentally? Because as we get older, we get better at that side of the game. And can he translate that thing that's in his soul right now, just burning, into production? I think this is a really important season for Bryce Harper, because the Phillies, they're more or less running things back at this point, and they got knocked out, even before the National League Championship Series last year. And so if they have any aspirations for getting back to the World Series like they did a few years back, Bryce Harper is going to be front and center there. And they're going to need him to be performing like old Bryce Harper, not last year Bryce Harper.
Was going to need to be Schwarber, too, who struck out three times his damn self last night. But I love him, too, damn it. I forgive him all. I forgive him all. I'm just too happy with what I saw last night. I'm not going to be mad at anybody because they're great. Last question for you. Other than the Dodgers, they got every damn thing, for crying out. Other than them, knowing what we know about how baseball has evolved, some of the rule changes that you've implemented, that you've talked about and what have you, and how that's infected the game in a positive way, who's the team that we should be looking out for other than the Los Angeles Dodgers this year as possible World Series champions?
The Dodgers are the most overwhelming favorite I have seen in my near quarter century covering baseball. They have two consecutive championships. They're bringing back all of their best players. They added Kyle Tucker, who was the best free agent this winter. They added Edwin Diaz, who was the best closer on the market. Like, the Dodgers have done absolutely everything right. And yes, it does help to have much more money and a much higher payroll than everyone else. And my concerns are that that's going to be the sort of thing that leads to a work stoppage, which baseball just cannot afford at this point because of the momentum that it's got. It would be the stupidest, most self-inflicted, unnecessary wound by the people involved. And I would like to believe that they are smarter than that. That being said, Stephen A., to answer your question, I have them facing the Seattle Mariners. Mariners, in decades of existence, have never even been to the World Series. They have a great pitching staff. They have a deep lineup led by Cal Raleigh and Julio Rodriguez. Andrés Muñoz is a top three closer in all of baseball, and Matt Brash behind him and others. They got a lot of talent there, Stephen A., and I think that this is the Mariners' year. Let's not forget, they took the Toronto Blue Jays to game 7 of the ALCS last year, and
That's
were
right.
leading almost in the same way that the Blue Jays were leading the Dodgers in game 7 of the World Series before they lost that. So the Mariners have been close. I think this is their year.
Let me tell you something. I will tell you this. The Dodgers could end up winning, right? But if they won the way they beat Toronto last year, we all still come out on top. Because that was a hell of a World Series.
No doubt.
That was a hell of a World Series. No doubt. And if you're going to give me another Game 7 where the Dodgers got to rescue themselves with a tremendous catch out left field with the center fielder running over your left fielder to catch. I mean, come on now. This is the kind of stuff that I'm talking about. Oh, my goodness. Baseball got me excited. Jeff Passan, appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you so much for all your coverage. Thanks to baseball for the World Baseball Classic. I'm looking forward to this season. It's been fantastic, man. I don't think baseball has been in this good of a position in at least the last quarter century. I really mean that.
Stephen A. Smith, certified ball knower.
Appreciate you, my man. Thank you so much. The one and only Jeff Passan, Major League Baseball insider extraordinaire and analyst right here with Stephen A. Sirius XM Mad Dog Sports Radio, 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. Back with your calls to close out the show in a minute. Don't go away. It's the Stephen A. Smith Show. Holla.